Welcome to the Upstage and Gentlemen podcast. This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions.
And Nathan with Legendary Productions.
And we've got host Alfonso Garcia.
How's it going, everybody?
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Hey.
We have some cool news, huh? Cool stuff happening.
Yeah, well, we have been, just in the last couple of weeks, the podcast has just really surged. And and we've been seeing just so many hits all over the world. And that's been pretty cool. And just getting to hear back from different people. I will say, no matter what happens, every episode, like of the last several episodes that we've released, though, I look, and the very first listeners always come from a place called Ashburn, Virginia. Every Virginia? Single episode. Yeah, Ashburn, Virginia. And I'm curious as to, like, who's listening in Ashburn, Virginia, that you're always our first listeners. You always appear first. And so I was wondering, our friends from Ashburn, Virginia, if you would either send us a message on Facebook or through our Buzzsprout, like on the fan mail section, or go to our Instagram and just let us know. But that goes for anybody, too. Like, anybody who's listening, go to any of those places, Instagram, Buzzsprout, Facebook.
Spotify, Apple, all those.
All those places. Any of those places. Yep. And leave us a comment. Let us know that where you're listening from. And I don't know. I'm curious to talk to some of you guys. Now, I would love to see, especially the international listeners, like, what type of theater are you guys into out there?
I will say that, and we're going to get into it, some of the best questions we're getting are from our international listeners. They're very thoughtful, and it's interesting getting that their thoughts on things.
When you guys were talking about with me, and I get texts from you guys randomly, like, going, "Oh my gosh, Canada! Oh my gosh!"
Right.
And Mike sends me a text. No freaking way! We just got like 200, 300 downloads, or is it downloads or uploads or whatever?
Downloads
or views or listens. But it's just kind of cool to hear that. And then you guys are talking about Canada, right? Is that like one of our number one listeners?
Yeah, well, it was like shocking. Like when we would get like, I don't know, I know maybe for the bigger podcasts that's nothing, but like when we get like 300 in an hour in the course of like whoa, where's that coming from?
As soon as it posts, you're like, we already got that. And I was like, holy mackerel.
So
it's pretty
sick. If you want to jump on board.
It's exciting.
If you want to jump on board as a sponsor.
Yeah, we actually get to monetize now.
Yeah.
So if you guys want to be sponsors or have us read, what's it called, read an ad or read your promotional thing, we'll totally do that. We have packages put together.
We'll read whatever you'd like us to for a price, right, Nathan?
Mike, I got to be honest with you, dude.
What?
You know how on the podcast it says where people could submit ads for us?
Yes.
There was one that came up that I just said no to, and I feel like I traded on you a little bit. Not that you care about this topic, but I know you would have been like, what? How much does it pay? But it was for STD, like a medicine for STDs. And I was like, I'm not reading that, dude. I'm not going to have us our podcast, three dudes representing STDs. I can't do it.
I think the problem was I couldn't think of a segue.
No.
Like how do we do this?
Now that Nathan brought up, let's talk about our ad for today.
Where did that come up? That came up on our Buzzsprout?
On our Buzzsprout, it says, it literally says ad, suggested ads or whatever. I was like, nope, deny. I wanted to tell you, but I felt like you would say yes.
There was one that actually popped up?
Yeah.
Okay,
well, at least we got one pop up. I did trade on you, but I know you and Alfonso would have said, let's do it. How much is it worth? I'm like, not my dignity, not my pride.
The problem is three episodes from now when we do make that hard left turn into an ad, people are going to be like, they sold out.
I'm not selling out for the STD cream. No offense to anyone that has STDs. Congratulations.
I'm just saying whatever. Right now, I'm a mercenary when it comes to copy. I will read any copy as long as there's a check behind it.
Mike, would you have said yes to that? I just want to know.
I don't even know.
Okay, good.
You make a good point. Three guys in the room, and four if you include John.
That's true.
And John
would probably quit
boys.
If we're doing ads for STDs. He's like, I'm gonna stand outside while I film this. So we're like, crap. But I just couldn't let you say yes. I just had to
protect the brand.
I was like, I can't do it. And like, how do you segue? All right, we're talking about dreams. But first, let's hear
from
our sponsor.
Don't let this stop your dreams.
Yeah, exactly. And then coming out of it, so Mike, what do you think about chasing your dreams?
Well, I don't know. See, I would think you would have been more prone to do the STD ad rather than like erectile dysfunction.
I would not be prone to either,
Michael. Well, I'm just saying, if you had to pick one or the other.
Oh, gosh. See, that's what I mean.
You know, gun to your head, which one would you do?
Well, speaking of those segues, let's move on to...
let's follow our dreams.
Let's move on to some of those listener questions. Okay. And we're going to go to Germany for this first question, yes. Right?
Germany.
You guys were really big in Germany when you started
we
off,
were.
Right?
We were. Germany, and then we got passed up by, like, Vietnam. Then Vietnam took it, and then England took it for a little bit, and now it's Canada.
I have a friend that's in Greece right now, and I was like... Can you just listen to our podcast out there just so we can get a couple of listeners? But then I looked, we already had like 34. I was like, oh, well, you're not. I mean, you're special, but you're not. But you know what I mean.
Have her start a group out there.
Yeah. Go ahead. What's the question?
So the question does come from Germany. They did not leave a name. So please leave your name when you leave a question, please. But the question was, with everything that a director invests in a production, what makes them trust an actor so quickly?
That has nothing to do with STDs.
Well, exactly.
And it never will.
Okay.
Why don't you start that, Mike?
What was the question again?
Oh,
I was thinking of my witty response.
With everything a director invests in a production, what makes them trust an actor so quickly?
Ooh, that's a good question. And I recently brought in a new performer to play with your food. And again, like if you've heard me talk before, we're like we're more of a company, and so we don't bring a lot of people in. It's just typically the we got a tight group, and we keep that group, and you know they'll kind of rotate shows. Not all of them are in all the shows, but we have a close pool of actors that we use. And so if I bring somebody in new, you know, I'm going to be looking for several things about them to see if they're going to fit in with us. But we brought in this new performer, and one of the things he did just you know right off the bat, number one, he was cool. And why is that a big deal? Like, do you have to be cool to be? Well, he, you know, came in with a great attitude, and he was very, very cordial, very friendly to everybody else in the group. So right off the bat, we're like, okay, we want this person here. And you just felt right off the bat like, okay, well, what kind of trust does that build? Well, the way that he was talking to people, the way that he was just being really genuine and everything, well, I trust that he's not going to cause drama. I trust that he's not going to be rude to any of my actors. I mean, if I bring somebody in, it's like you're coming in and you're joining this group and, you know, no drama. No being rude to anybody. Everybody's fitting in, and no egos. And I felt like, you know, right off the bat, this he's doing that. Second, call time was at 7 o'clock. I get a text from him at 6:30. I'm here. I like that a lot. What I don't like is at 5 minutes after 7, you're looking around, where are these people? Running late. I do not like that. So arriving early, showing everybody that you know you respect everybody enough that you're going to be on time to this thing, walking in very cordial, everything, and made it known right off the bat with what we were doing that he was very teachable. You know, just he came in just extremely humble. He worked really, really hard the time he was there, but he let us know. He's like, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm here to learn, and anything that I can learn from you guys, it would be great. And it just all the right things were happening there. And it's like, wow. When he left, everybody just looked at each other and be like, that what a keeper that person is. So there were a couple things right for me. Again, his attitude, his you know, being willing to get there early, respecting everybody, being completely teachable. That makes me trust him a lot right there. And that was just in our very first session with him there. All right, pass this off to you, Nathan.
Yeah, obviously we've talked about this many times, but we have different types of, you know, casting process and stuff. You're more of a repertoire theater and company, like you said. But for me, I think it's more of a gamble in a way for me because they come in new. Like, I don't know them at all. Sometimes I've never met them. They've driven in from out of city, sometimes out of state, and I don't know them. And it's a gamble to trust that process. But the truth is, I had to learn because anyone that listens to this that aren't my friends, they're going to go, yeah, you are. But I've liked to be I like to control, you know, situations. And as a producer, director, you have to be vulnerable to the fact, and I've tried to change in the last, you know, many few years, whatever, to start everybody at 100%. Everyone starts at 100 with me, whether, you know, they start, show up on time, are they memorized, are they team players, are they encouragers, are they, do they discourage when needed to? Like, it's kind of, everyone starts at 100%, which is sometimes it can bite you, as we've talked in some of our more controversial topics. Sometimes you get burned by that and you go, okay, maybe it was a fluke. Maybe we just have some personality differences, which is okay. That happens in the world. And then you go, okay, we'll try it again. Oh, okay, we're still butting heads. We try it again. And I kind of just, if you, it's not really, but if you think a bit about it as a scale, it kind of just gets lower, lower, lower until it's empty. And you're like, okay, this just isn't right for us. So for me, the trust starts with everyone at 100%. And then we go from there. And I, and just as much as I'll say they're getting, I'll say, judged or starting 100%, I know I am too. Orientation or callbacks are huge for me, Steve, the production team, to represent who we are and who they're going to be investing with for the next few weeks, months, days, whatever ends up being. So it's equally, I'll say, vulnerable that both of you have to just trust the process, trust the vision, trust the team, as much as I need to trust the performer coming in that they're going to do their part, hopefully. And that goes both ways. But Alfonso, I'm going to tag you into that because you've done a lot of legendary shows and other productions, other places. What do you feel? You don't have to talk about me specifically as far as legendary, but what does that look like to you as far as coming in and trusting the process, the team, and also what does it look like for you coming in new on both sides?
I think that when somebody comes into the theater, when it's like it's a new situation, it can be a little intimidating, right? It was for me coming into this group with Into the Woods. But I think even as a director, you kind of have no choice but to trust the actor at certain times. And as the actor, you really have no choice but to trust that process. And at Legendary, at least, and this has been the case most theaters, but especially with Legendary, if you trust the process, nobody's going to make you look foolish. And I think that's something you always speak to at orientation. Mm-hmm. You're not going to look foolish unless your character's meant to look foolish. And if you are, we're going to do it in a respectful way to where we're not going to, you know, call anybody out. We're going to do it in a way that's appropriate. So from what I've seen, at least here, is if you trust the process and you see it through, you're going to be presented in the best light. Because, and this is just speaking for you, Nathan, working with you, I think you have an ability to take the best of an actor and highlight that, and then take their weaknesses and hide that or mask that to where only the best of them come out. So at least with this group, I think that if you trust the process and you trust the direction and you trust the team, you're going to come out far better than you ever realized, because they're going to push you to do things that you never expected to do. Like for me, I've done things that I never thought I would do in a million years. I thought I'd have long hair my whole life and I'd just be, you know, wearing wigs. Now I cut my hair and I'm like the Cat in the Hat. What? Never in a million years did I think I would do that. But because I trusted, hey, why don't you try this? Try that. Hey, I can do that. Hey, wait a minute. That unlocked this and I can take that to the next show. And I've seen you do that, Nathan, with actors, to where you give them those tools. They don't even realize it, and they come to the next audition that much more prepared. But you see it and be like, oh, yeah, no, I taught you that. But they don't even realize that. Like, so it's cool to see, at least here. So I can speak to that directly. So,
I don't know about both. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so speaking of things you never thought you'd do, cutting your hair, coming on the podcast, about to read an advertisement.
We're not
for
doing
STDs.
The advertisement. We're not doing that. We might as well do it now. We might as well have just done it. We talked about it more than we have.
But is there a burning sensation? Ouch! What can I do?
Oh my God! See, I knew you'd do this.
See, we'd be really good at that. Okay.
No, we will not. But as performers, have you both, Mike, and you performed other places besides your own theater? Obviously, has there been times as an actor that you've gone into a process and gone, "Man, I trusted that, but look what happened." Whether it be tech, sound, lights, personalities, directors, teams, has there been situations or no for either of you
where stuff has fallen through the cracks?
Yeah, where you're like, I'm giving you 100%, here I am, and then you go, wah, wah.
Yeah, and I don't really feel like it's been intentional with, either the actors or the tech or something like that. But there's been a few times where I've gone in with like a vision, like say for a set, and I was like, okay, I'm picturing it like this, and the tech people are like, we can do that, we can do that, and then it just like wasn't reached, and you know, and maybe sometimes not even to a fault of theirs. It could be that there was just not enough money in the budget to make something like that happen, or there wasn't just enough time, or it had to be like, okay, you got to pick. We can do this big thing or this big thing, but there's not enough time or money to do both. Like, so what's going to have to be there? And so you do kind of have a wish list on, you know, stuff like that. But is, you know, I don't really feel like most of the time that was a trust issue as much as a resource issue.
Okay. What about you, Alfonso? As far as an actor performer, you don't have to name names, obviously.
No.
You don't want that kind of controversy.
No. But you know what? You put your trust into the director too, when they sell you their vision of it. Yeah, at least me as an actor, I'm buying into that vision. I'm saying, okay, yeah, I'm going to be a part of that. And then as the process goes on, and then that vision changes, or they okay, no, it's actually this, or hey, you know the protagonist? He's actually the antagonist. Wait, what? I'm trying to figure this out. And then you're telling me that, you know, we don't have a set or things like that. Now, if you're promising me these things ahead of time, and then I expect those as an actor, and I'm preparing for that, then you're not putting me in a position to succeed.
That is a extremely good and fair point, because you're thinking of it worth, especially if you got actors that are giving their time. First of all, and there's many other shows that are going on that they could audition for, and they are choosing to come and audition for you. And there's drive time, and you know, gas price is very, very high right now. So in a sense, they really are giving a monetary investment in your theater, just to, like in these days, just by driving there. Like, wow, that's a pricey investment right there. And what you were just saying, if you're selling the actors on that, you know, it's going to be this, and it's going to be this, and there's going to be a cameo in it by Sylvester Stallone, and we're going to, and then, you know, that stuff doesn't happen. I think that could raise some eyebrows for the actors, and probably should. And another point I just want to bring up before we get too far, you mentioned you know, like you like to control the situation. So you are a bit of a control freak in there. But also, you know, don't you think that, at some point, probably most of the time, the actors are looking for you to do that?
That is your job.
I mean, they want you to control the situation. Otherwise, it's going to become unruly.
There's a fine line between, and I struggle with this sometimes, control and manage. And sometimes I don't know where that line blurs. It's like, yes, I'm controlling it because I'm going to be the one that has to deal with the fallout or whatever happens. But then also managing. So sometimes people use the word manipulation, control. I'm like, it's yes, fine. It's all those things, but it's not for ulterior, like negative motive. It's to have the end goal, the end product be as best as it can be. And like we talked in previous episodes, looking at the overall picture is the main point of that. Like you're not, it's not selfish. I don't want an applause. I don't go up there and bow after. But one thing to tie in that I was thinking when you guys both were talking, it is hard to sell a vision without overpromising. Sometimes you're like, don't tell them you're going to have Sylvester Stallone there, even if he's going to be there. But you want to because you're like, no, it's going to be good. He comes out with his Rambo gun, you know, and or his big old whatever, his like military knife. So it's hard sometimes to not overpromise. But I think being honest and being transparent and saying, here's the deal. I want Sylvester Stallone. I hope he's going to be here. That's the goal. But don't lie. Don't lie to your actors because after a while they stop trusting you. And trust is huge when it comes to any type of performance, I feel.
Well, I think you've been for an example, you were transparent with us during Joseph at the Redlands Bowl, right? Hey, this is what we want animal-wise. And it's like, this is what we can get, though.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to try to do. So it's like, but you made that very clear. You didn't say, we're going to have like Secretariat running down the aisle, yeah, and then we're Secretariat out,
yeah,
right?
We did get a lot of animals, but we didn't get the camel I wanted him to ride on. And practically, it just wasn't how fast it happened. But you're true. It is, being transparent and honest is true.
Yeah, and that's fair as an actor. But if you had said, this is what it's going to be.
You're like, womp, womp.
I was like, well, yeah, okay, got that's me. A letdown, yeah. Right?
Yeah, it's hard.
But yeah, absolutely. And when that trust has been compromised as a director, can that be rebuilt? Can you rebuild that when you have to part ways with somebody? As hey, you know what? We don't see the eye to eye. Can that be rebuilt?
I believe so.
Yeah. You want to elaborate? Want me to go?
Yeah. I mean, it may not be anytime soon. I mean, it may be have to. I think time is a good healer of things. It's like, okay, get away. You know, let the dust settle and such. But you know, then a conversation like, why were you feeling that way? This is why I was feeling that way. Now, can we move forward? Do we want to move forward? How do we do this? And about learning to communicate with each other, and I think I just feel like if two people, they want to be in the project together and they are willing to take the steps to understand each other, absolutely. And I think that they, you know, they should be heard out. You would want to be heard, and I would listen to what, you know, anyone was saying to me on something like that.
I think as far as burning bridges, and this goes to a previous episodes, even people that quote unquote unfollow or unfriend,
right,
or block numbers, whatever they may do, I think no one can, I think anyone could really build a bridge. And there's been things said about me many times, behind my back and to my face, mainly behind my back, but it's okay. But I can't think of anyone in the history that of legendary that they didn't burn their own bridge and choose to leave on their own. But there's no one that's done anything that I don't think could be mended, or time has passed, as Mike said, or maybe maturity thing. Maybe I've matured more. Maybe I've self-reflected and grown, or vice versa. But I think there's always an opportunity to work together again. And with me, I don't know that you'll ever start back at 100%, but we could go back to a professional relationship and hopefully build that, if you will, build that thermometer or that gauge to become 100. But there'll definitely be reservations, as there would be for that other person too, going, I don't know if I want to work with Nathan, but I'll try it. And then if it works out, cool. If not, then maybe we got to wait another 5-10 years or something. I don't know. But I think you could always mend something. I'd like to think I'm pretty forgiving to go, it's all right, things happen.
And what we're talking about here is like kind of the burning bridges and mending between actor, director.
Right.
But I think what everybody's got to also remember is that you've got a slew of other actors, mm-hmm, that are watching this happen. And while you may make up with a director, you may have some repair work to do with some actors too, if you leave them high and dry, or
especially if you're a leader, even being an example to some of the younger people or newer people or green people in theater or the performing world. If you've had experience and you're talented, you're an example whether you want to be or not. So you have no idea what you may be affecting on those up and comings.
You made such a good point there, Michael, and it's about the effect that it can have on the cast, right? And we're kind of still kind of transitioning into kind of like difficult, like when actors can be a little bit difficult. As a director, that actor may try to mend that fence with that director, but the director may look at them and say, hey, that's fine, we're cool, but nobody wants to work with you. That's the dilemma that I have. The dilemma I have is I have this many people coming and say, hey, she's doing this, or he's doing this, or they're doing that. And so as a director, it becomes bigger. It becomes, okay, well, it's like, well, we have our issue with trust, but now I've got a lot of actors, a whole team here that you've let down that don't trust you either. So where do we go from here?
And I think that's your job as a director, producer, is to protect the picture, the overall show, the overall, yeah, production. Is that I've had some really close friends that personally were great, but in the theater setting, you're unhinged, you're unstable, you're ... fill in the blank. And you have to just say, hey, right now is just a good time for you to chill and breathe, man, and maybe think about the relationships that you should nurture. And if you don't want to, that's fine. But that is our job. And there's even been times for me going, okay, for this project to be successful, I'll pull back a little. I'll manage from it, or manage, control, whatever word people want to use, from a distance and allow things to pan out. And then, you know, give the space to whatever the situation is, and then go from there.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have that negativity with the actor, right? Is it worse when they're just negative or when they're unreliable? What's worse? What's worse to deal with?
Oh, boy.
That's tough because it's terrible either way. But
I'll go on a limb and say negative.
That's asking us to choose a least favorite child.
Yeah. Yeah. They're both demons. Yeah. But no, I would probably say the negative. Because, I mean, yes, they both could be worked on, but I think negative is just so toxic to so many people. And unreliable is too. I mean, if you're not showing up on time, you're not being memorized, you're not giving your all. So I think it's pretty close, but negative is just so hard to fix. I think because it damages so much unseen and unknown that I think it's so hard. Unreliable, it's something I think can be a little more, I'll say, taught or maneuvered.
Corrected.
Yeah, you could. It's easier to fix that. Because it's not necessarily embedded in so many avenues, I guess, would be my long, short answer. But I think they're both horrible. What do you think, Mike?
I don't know. It's awful to deal with either of that. It's a nightmare when they're negative, especially when they start spreading that amongst the cast, and you're always sitting there like wondering, like, oh man, what's going to happen today? It puts a complete damper on rehearsal, and when they're unreliable, it's like, man, how can you deal with that either? Especially for those that are just starting out acting, if you can avoid those two things, it's going to just shoot you, you know, heads and toes. Like, we're not even talking about talent right now.
Yeah.
If you can just show up at a rehearsal and be very pleasant, you know, just an encouraging person, and if you can be there on time, you can be memorized on time, that just catapults you into a whole new league right there. And so that's beginning actors, advanced actors.
It's a better lifestyle in general.
That'd be some advice I'd have for you. Is that the 5-minute mark? Three minute mark.
I'll ask one more thing because you kind of got into what I was going to ask there right there. But I think a lot of people tune in, they listen to you guys because they want to get your personal opinions on things because, hey, maybe that's going to help me approach an audition. So sometimes I ask these things where it's like, hey, people are trying to get an insight into your mind. So for you as a director, what makes you feel the most supported by that actor? What's going to make you feel the most supported? I'll start with you, Michael.
I just think, okay, so going real quickly, I think when they do choose to be reliable.
Mike, we can go a little longer today. I mean, on this episode, because this is a good question. So okay. Go for it.
I'm just thinking, you know, when they show up and they are reliable, that lets them, that gives you as a director, I mean, it gives me as a director more trust, I guess, in that person than they would ever imagine. It's because, you know, I'm thinking like they know that there's a show to do. They are here early. They are memorized on time. They are being supportive. They are just going above and beyond in these little areas, and that makes me feel like they really care about the show. It's like they know that there's an audience coming, and they care and respect about that audience too, just by doing those things, and all of that stuff has nothing to do with talent. It doesn't cost you anything to do that stuff, to be kind and to be reliable. And to be supportive doesn't cost you anything. And so, again, my advice to actors that are looking to get into a theater company, if a director can see that you are, you've got those qualities, what a huge edge up you've just gotten.
Yeah, I definitely agree to all of that, Mike. Trust is huge. Just trust the process. That's why I say at orientations, and even just nothing to do with theater, even in our other company that I'm a part of, just trust the process. Go to the finish line. Let's get through, and then afterwards, let's reflect on what we could improve on or grow on or fix or don't work together. That's okay, too. But I think that's huge, is trust. But I also, for me, I think even though I know as performers our job is to be myopic, to just be tunnel vision, I think really looking at what is someone else going through, excuse me, whether it be another actor, production team, whether it be whoever in that process, think about what are they going through in that moment before I interject myself, you know, kind of thing. So especially like during tech weeks, maybe breathe and understand everyone's going through it maybe differently or equally, but just take a breath and realize, well, maybe that person didn't sleep last night. Maybe they've been staying up all night while you're sleeping. And then, yes, you go to work, but probably they do too. And then they come and do a whole other job trying to make a show successful for the team, for the ensemble. So I think that's important. Just really be selfless and think of other people is huge. But trust would be the biggest. Just trust it. And then let that bridge be burned and go, whoa, that was not good. But that's what I would suggest, obviously. I think Mike said it perfectly about trust, though. I think that's the key. But
yeah, you guys nailed it. Good stuff.
Yeah, well, speaking of things being burned, something's burning, and I think we need some of Nathan's penicillin.
Oh, my gosh. Please end this.
Come on. Yeah.
All right, so for the Upstaging Gentlemen podcast, I'm Alfonso.
This is Michael with Play With Your Food Productions, and we'll see you next time.
This is Nathan, not burning. Later.
Bye, guys.